Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. So continuing with our reading of Krishna book, chapter 1, Advent of Lord Krishna. So up to this point, we've read how Vasudeva and Devaki were proceeding in their wedding procession after their marriage, and they were accompanied by Kamsa, the brother of Devaki, and Kamsa was demoniac because of his association, and he heard a voice from the sky saying that, you know, the eighth son of Devaki would kill him, so he decided to kill his sister Devaki, and he was about to do it, but Devaki began discussing with him, offering him different arguments why he shouldn't kill his sister, because he said, first of all, it isn't your sister who's going to kill you, it's going to be one of her sons, and none of her sons are born yet, so no need to kill her. I promise I'll bring to you any of the sons who are born. So on that basis, he, Kamsa, decided not to kill his sister Devaki at that time. So each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki gave birth to a child. Thus, she gave birth to 8 male children, as well as one daughter. When the first son was born, Vasudev kept his word of honor and immediately brought the child before Kamsa. It is said that Vasudev was very much elevated and famous for his word of honor, and he wanted to maintain that fame. Although it was very painful for Vasudev to hand over the newly born child, Kamsa was very glad to receive him, but he became a little compassionate with the behavior of Vasudev. This event is very exemplary. For a great soul like Vasudev, there is nothing considered to be painful in the course of discharging one's duty. A learned person like Vasudev carries out his duties without hesitation. On the other hand, a demon like Kamsa never hesitates in committing any abominable action. It is said, therefore, that a saintly person can tolerate all kinds of miserable conditions of life. A learned man can discharge his duties without awaiting favorable circumstances. A heinous person like Kamsa can act in any sinful way, and a devotee can sacrifice everything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa became satisfied by the action of Vasudeva. He was surprised to see Vasudeva keeping his promise and being compassionate upon him and pleased, he began to speak as follows. My dear Vasudeva, you need not present this child to me. I am not in danger from this child. I have heard that the eighth child born of you and Devaki will kill me. Why should I accept this child unnecessarily? You can take him back. When Vasudeva was returning home with his firstborn child, although he was pleased by the behavior of Kamsa, he could not believe in him because he knew that Kamsa was uncontrolled. An atheistic person cannot be firm in his word of honor. One who cannot control the senses cannot be steady in his determination. The great politician Chanaka Pandit said, "Never put your trust in a diplomat or a woman." Those who are addicted to unrestricted sense gratification can never be truthful, nor can they be trusted with any faith. At this time, the great sage Narada came to Kamsa. He was informed of Kamsa's becoming compassionate to Vasudeva and returning his firstborn child. Narada was very eager to accelerate the descent of Lord Krishna as soon as possible. He therefore informed Kamsa that in Vrindavan, personalities like Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd men and their wives, and on the other side, Vasudeva, his father, Surasen, and all the relatives born in the family of Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, along with all their friends and well-wishers, were actually demigods. Narada warned Kamsa to be careful of them, since Kamsa and his friends and advisors were all demons. Demons are always afraid of demigods. After being thus informed by Narada about the appearance of the demigods in different families, Kamsa at once became very much alarmed. He understood that since the demigods had already appeared, Lord Vishnu must be coming soon. He at once arrested both his brother-in-law, Vasudeva, and Devaki, and put them behind prison bars. Within the prison, shackled in iron chains, Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to a male child year after year, and Kamsa, thinking each of the babies to be the incarnation of Vishnu, killed them one after another. He was particularly afraid of the eighth child, but after the visit of Narada, he came to the conclusion that any child might be Krishna. Therefore, it was better to kill all the babies who took birth from Devaki and Vasudeva. This action of Kamsa is not very difficult to understand. In the history of the world, there are many instances of persons in the royal order who have killed their father, brother, or whole family and friends for the satisfaction of their ambitions. There is nothing astonishing about this for members of the demoniac, greedy royal order can kill anyone for their nefarious ambitions. Kamsa was made aware of his previous birth by the grace of Narada. He learned that in his previous birth he had been a demon of the name Kalanemi and that he had been killed by Vishnu. Having now taken his birth in the Bhoja family, he decided to become the deadly enemy of the Yadu dynasty. Krishna was going to take birth in that family, and Kamsa was very much afraid that he would be killed by Krishna, just as he had been killed in his last birth. He first of all imprisoned his father, Ugrasen, because he was the chief king among the Yadu, Bhoja, and Andaka dynasties. And he occupied the kingdom of Surasen, Vasudeva's father. He declared himself the king of all such places. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport, ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first chapter of Krishna, the advent of Lord Krishna. So in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gives additional information about the previous birth of Kamsa. As he mentions here, Kamsa was previously a demon named Kalanemi and he'd been killed by Vishnu. But Srila Prabhupada also explains that these sons of Devaki, they were also demons in a past life, and they had to be killed in this life also. So that's why, because one may wonder, well, why are the sons of Devaki being killed? But there's an elaborate history, why they had to be killed also. And they're compared to the anartas in the heart, mada, matsarya, krodha, kama, lust, anger, greed, so on and so forth. And before Krishna can appear in the heart, these anartas have to be removed. So Srila Prabhupada explained that these, symbolically, the killing of these different sons of Devaki, represents the getting rid of those anartas in the heart. And he explains that, Srila Prabhupada explains that even, like Devaki's fear of what was going on is actually good. A devotee should actually fear, anartas. So fear can be purifying in the case of a devotee. One should be afraid of the anartas that arise in the heart. So when the heart is completely pure, then Krishna can appear in the heart of the devotee. We were actually learning about that in the Rath Yatra pastime also. we were reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita the story of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And there's that famous long purport that Srila Prabhupada writes where he describes how cleaning the temple is like cleaning the heart and removing the anartas in the heart. And when the heart is pure, then Krishna can appear there and sit there in the heart of the devotee. So a similar thing is understood here. Now, just because, you know, Srila Prabhupada gives a symbolic meaning doesn't mean, you know, the actual events didn't actually occur. You know, there actually was King Kamsa, there was Vasudeva, there was Devaki. It was historical events that happened. But in addition to understanding the actual historical events, there are different layers of meaning and understanding, you know, behind them. So, of course, it's still possible to visit, you know, Mathura today. Of course, we like to go to Vrindavan, where Krishna displayed his childhood pastimes. But this Mathura is also important because that's where Krishna appeared, and his appearance is being described here. So chapter 2, prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna. And yes. Go into the third chapter. Okay. I was told that's what you were going to read tomorrow. Okay. All right. So, yeah, so the demigods, they prayed for Krishna within the womb. And then Krishna appears. So this is chapter 3, the birth of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who understands them factually becomes immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. You know, very famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. So, Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the second chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the star known as Rohini was predominant. This star is considered to be very auspicious and is under the direct supervision of Brahma. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situations of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. There were auspicious stars visible in the sky and on the surface of the earth, in all towns and villages and pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of waters, and lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasant. At home, the brahmanas, who were accustomed to offering sacrifices to the fire, found their homes very, very pleasant for offerings. Due to disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of the brahmanas, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the brahmanas had been very much distressed in mind, intelligence, and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear transcendental vibrations in the sky proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it appears that just before the time of Krishna's appearance, the world situation was, you know, disturbed because of the influence of the demoniac personalities that had taken birth. You know, in the first chapter, we learned that different demons had taken, you know, birth on Earth to create disturbance. So they were succeeding in doing that, but at the same time, you know, Krishna had his plan. He caused, you know, the demigods to take birth also in families, particularly the Yadu dynasty. And he himself was going to appear. So the Earth planet was, you can say, the battleground for a cosmic battle, you could say. Now, today in the world, you know, some people have some kind of perverted, reflected understanding of, you know, this principle. You know, they believe in aliens, you know, life forms from other planets, you know, battling to control the Earth. But that's according to, you know, Krishna book, what was really going on, in a sense. You know, the demoniac personalities had taken birth on the Earth, you know, to carry out their program. And to counter them, Krishna and the demigods are also appearing. And right before Krishna's appearance, the demoniac personalities had managed to create some disturbance, you know, some disturbance in the environment, disturbance in the social sphere, and also, we're reading here, disturbance in the minds of the brahmanas or the devotees. You know, they were feeling very unhappy, and because they were being prevented from carrying out their normal sacrificial activities. And we see this, how, you know, sometimes, even in the world today, you know, different governments, you know, they may take action to hinder the activities of the devotees, you know, like in Kazakhstan, and you know, in some countries in Europe, sometimes recently there were some problems with governments, you know, trying to interfere with the activities of the devotees. So when that happens, of course, the devotees become a little unhappy in their consciousness and mind when their activities are being hindered and obstructed by, you know, governmental forces. But we're learning here, you know, when Krishna appears, then everything, you know, becomes adjusted. Said, you know, the environment became adjusted, everything became very nice, and then the minds of the devotees became a little peaceful. So the denizens of Gandharva and Kinnara planets began to sing, and the denizens of Siddhaloka and the planets of the Charanas began to offer prayers in the service of the personality of Godhead. In the heavenly planets, the angels and their wives, along with the Vidyadharas and their wives, began to dance. The great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasantly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon over the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance and the dynasty wherein the moon is himself, the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So, by the grace of Krishna, he could appear like a full moon. So this is an important part of the understanding of Vedic cosmology, that all celestial bodies are connected with personalities. You know, the sun, the moon, the different stars, the different planets. They're all connected with personalities. They're not just like lumps of matter, you know, floating in space. So personalities can have influence over matter. So we're learning something about that here. In an astronomical treatise by the name Kamanikya, the constellations at the time of the appearance of Lord Krishna are very nicely described. It is confirmed that the child born at that auspicious moment was the Supreme Brahman, or the Absolute Truth. Vasudeva saw that wonderful child born as a baby with four hands holding conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower. decorated with the mark of Sri Vatsa, wearing the jeweled necklace of Kaushtubha stone, dressed in yellow silk, appearing dazzling like a bright blackish cloud, wearing a helmet bedecked with the Vaidurya stone, valuable bracelets, earrings, and similar other ornaments all over his body, and beautified by an abundance of hair on his head. Due to the extraordinary features of the child, Vasudev was struck with wonder. How could a newly born child be so decorated? Vasudev could therefore understand that Lord Krishna had now appeared, and he became overpowered by the occasion. Vasudev very humbly worshipped. Vasudev very humbly wondered that although he was an ordinary living entity conditioned by material nature and was externally imprisoned by Kamsa, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, had appeared as a child in his home, exactly in his original position. No earthly child is born with four hands, decorated with ornaments and nice clothing, fully equipped with all the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Over and over again, Vasudev glanced at his child, and he considered how to celebrate this auspicious moment. Generally, this is Vasudev speaking, generally, when a male child is born, he thought, people observe the occasion with jubilant celebrations, and in my home, although I am in prison, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has taken birth. How many millions and millions of times should I be prepared to observe this auspicious ceremony? When Vasudev, who is also called Anaka Dundubi, was looking at his newborn baby, he was so happy that he wanted to give many thousands of cows in charity to the Brahmanas. According to the Vedic system, whenever there is an auspicious ceremony in the Kshatriya king's palace, out of joy, the king gives many things in charity. Cows decorated with golden ornaments are delivered to the Brahmanas and sages. Vasudev wanted to perform a charitable ceremony to celebrate Krishna's appearance. But because he was shackled within the walls of Kamsa's prison, this was not possible. Instead, within his mind, he gave thousands of cows to the Brahmanas. When Vasudev was convinced that the newborn child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he bowed down with folded hands and began to offer him prayers. At that time, Vasudev was in the transcendental position, and he became completely free from all fear of Kamsa. The newborn baby was also flashing his effulgence within the room in which he appeared. Vasudev then began to offer his prayers. My dear Lord, I can understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, and the Absolute Truth. You have appeared in your own eternal form, which is directly perceived by us. I understand that because I am afraid of Kamsa. You have appeared just to deliver me from that fear. You do not belong to this material world. You are the same person who brings about the cosmic manifestation simply by glancing over material nature. One may argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates the whole cosmic manifestation simply by his glance, cannot come within the womb of Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. To eradicate this argument, Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, it is not a very wonderful thing that you have appeared within the womb of Devaki, because the creation was also made in that way. You are lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, and by your breathing process, innumerable universes came into existence. Then you entered into each of the universes as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Then again, you expanded yourself as Shiradakshaya Vishnu and entered into the hearts of all living entities and even into the atoms. Therefore, your entrance into the womb of Devaki is understandable in the same way. You appear to have entered, but you are simultaneously all-pervading. We can understand your entrance and non-entrance from material examples. The total material energy remains intact, even after being divided into 16 elements. The material body is nothing but the combination of the five gross elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Whenever there is a material body, it appears that such elements are newly created, but actually the elements are always existing outside of the body. Similarly, although you have appeared as a child in the womb of Devaki, you are also existing outside. You are always in your abode, but still you can simultaneously expand yourself into millions of forms. One has to understand your appearance with great intelligence because the material energy is also emanating from you. You are the original source of the material energy, just as the sun is the source of sunshine. The sunshine cannot cover the sun globe, nor can the material energy, being an emanation from you, cover you. You appear to be in the three modes of material energy, but actually the three modes of material energy cannot cover you. This is understood by the highly intellectual philosophers. In other words, although you appear to be within the material energy, you are never covered by it. So, the appearance of Lord Krishna has to be understood not just as a beautiful story, which it is, but it also has to be understood philosophically. And Vasudeva in his prayers is giving, you know, the proper philosophical understanding of the appearance of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot be compared to ordinary, you know, personalities. He has vastly greater powers. And Vasudeva is mentioning this here. For example, one could say, if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then how can he appear in the womb of a woman, Devaki? And Vasudeva explains that that is his power. He naturally does that. You know, as, you know, he can expand himself and enter within different forms of matter without being covered by them. You know, for example, from the Mahavishnu, millions of universes are coming from his pores. And so the material universes are manifestations of the material energy. But Krishna enters within each universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So Krishna can enter within matter. He can enter within material forms. And in each universe, there are bodies of unlimited numbers of material beings, plants, animals, human beings, demigods. And Krishna, as Supersoul, enters within those material forms without being conditioned by them. Now, as individual spirit souls, when we enter within a material form, we're limited and conditioned by that form. But Krishna, as Supersoul, isn't limited or conditioned by the material body that he enters. And he also enters within each atom. You know, atom is a form of matter, but Krishna enters within each atom. So without being limited or covered by it. So in the same way, you know, Krishna can enter the womb of Devaki without being limited or covered. And Vasudeva is explaining that. So these are some of the philosophical understandings of Krishna's appearance, and we'll continue tomorrow with more readings from Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai.